Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the show. Today I'm joined by a super couple of sex education fellow sexologists, Sunny Megatron and Ken Melvoin-Berg. Together we'll be discussing a few of your favorite topics, including kinky sex, blowjobs, sex toys, and more. So thanks for listening, but first, okay, we need to talk. Have I told you enough about Emily and Tony down under comfort? Because, you know, summer's coming. And how are your balls feeling? I just want to know, because if they're not fresh and dry like they should be, then you should check out Down Under Comfort. So a lot of men, like, and women, you know, we sweat in places we just don't want to. It's getting hot under their breasts, you know, lower back, men in their ball area, and you know, in their ball area, the area where your balls are. And talcum powder is actually like carcinogenic and messy, and Down Under Comfort is vegan. It's a cream formula that turns into a light natural powder, and it keeps your intimate areas dry, comfortable, fresh and clean, and ready for action anytime. Men's Health actually voted the number one product you didn't know you needed, so don't you think you kind of need it? And here's what people are saying. Down Under Comfort is a godsend. After being a baby powder man for most of my adult life, I can't imagine a day without this. Girlfriend is a big fan as well. Any guy who says that his girlfriend won't go down needs to try this stuff. She loves it. Balls are no longer lonely. Do you want lonely balls? I don't think you do. Go to emilyandtony.com, get Down Under Comfort right now. Use coupon code Emily for 20% off your first order. Plus, until May 31st, get a free Down Under Comfort with any Ménage à Trois candle purchase with code PLEASURE. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out our podcast. Sign up for our mailing list, which I don't understand. If you're listening to the show and you love the show, which you all tell me you do, and you're not on our mailing list, like, it makes zero sense to me because it's not like I spam you. I actually send you interesting information. And you can, you know, sometimes people, you could link to the blogs, watch our videos. And the thing is, I just, you know, I don't give your name away, and it's interesting, and you'll like it. People actually have complimented more on my emails than they have on the show, which is kind of a weird thing, and I wonder if I should just do, like, professional email campaigns or something. No, I'm not going to get off of it. You know, people like the show, too. I know you all love the show, and I love hearing from you, so thanks, everyone, for emailing me, always. Feedback at sexwithemily.com. And follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. I just love you all. I would be nothing without you. I'm excited for today's show. Hello, Sunny and Ken. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having us on.
It's awesome. We just met. So we, Sunny and Ken, are a dynamic duo sexologists. They have a show on Showtime, Sex with Sunny Megatron.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And Ken, you have been a sex educator. I remember you telling me 17 years you've been doing
it? A little longer than that, actually. But yeah, I've been doing it forever and a day.
Forever and a day. Longer
yep.
than that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. You guys are like, okay, so I need to know. Real quickly, so we're going to get into some, like, I want to hear about your show and what you guys are doing. You guys are, we just met at the Sexual Health Expo in Phoenix. I don't think we'd met before.
No,
I don't think
no?
we had.
Yeah. I know.
We're like three ships passing in the night, but not.
No, exactly. Like, yeah. how we not, like, hung out? So I feel like I did actually came into your seminar that you were teaching there, which was, all I know is I walked in and there was it you had the unicorn mask?
Yes, there were unicorn masks.
And then you were flogging her or something. I don't know. I just kind of came in for a second. So what exactly were you guys teaching at that moment? What was it called?
It was a BDSM 101 class that was sort of like a starter class of 50 Shades of Grey.
The real 50 Shades of Grey.
Right. Yes. So here's how it really goes down. You don't need a, you know, Red Room of Pain or anything like that.
Right.
So that was cool. So I was like, I like these people. I want to party with them. So you were, you know, that was all. You guys were great teaching.
Yeah. We have an extra unicorn mask.
We brought it with today, too.
Did
and,
you?
And hooves, too.
Did
yes.
you bring it all? Because
so
I
if we can
just,
do a
I'm
selfie
like,
with you afterwards.
Are amazing and so you guys just you teach everywhere. I have a little bit more about you here, but first, you know what, before we get into all of your details, first I want to get your comments on this Sex in the News story.
Absolutely.
And it has to do with 50 Shades of Grey. Imagine that. I know you think it's like dead and gone, but here it is. Okay, watching 50 Shades of Grey with your girl makes them frisky. Shock, right? So there's a survey from Tubi TV. The movie 50 Shades of Grey might be a compromise to all that porn you watch. The survey found that most chicks who watched the movie got super aroused during it. So maybe, just maybe, you want to put your Netflix, which maybe this is like not really any news. But it says that married couples, though, tend to feel safer. So the survey says, wait, back up. In the survey, 68% of the women were somewhat or very aroused when watching 50 Shades of Grey, almost matching 68% of the men. And then married individuals pulled the highest of being somewhat or very aroused at 71%. And they said that married couples tend to feel safer in their relationship, therefore more free to explore their sexuality, and that BDSM turns them on and all this stuff. So I just want to know, okay, so, you know, it's not porn, whatever, they're recommending it here. So what do you guys think about this whole 50 Shades of Grey? Like, how accurate do you think, like, the movie was?
I think that if he was poor, that it would be a sex crime and he'd be on Law and Order.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was great inspiration for, hey, I'm watching this, I'm getting hot, for whatever the reason, you know, like the statistics in your article.
Right.
Is it an accurate depiction of BDSM, like a how-to manual? Absolutely not. Right. But either is, we watch porn. That's not real. It's great inspiration. It gets us hot and it inspires us to go into the bedroom and do real things.
Exactly.
So in that sense, great. You know, if you love 50 Shades of Grey, wonderful.
Right.
Know that it's a fantasy.
You know, but Sunny has a really great saying when we teach a lot of our classes, and that is, you don't learn how to have sex by watching porn no more than you learn how to drive by watching Fast and the Furious.
Exactly.
Right. And it's the same thing with BDSM and 50 Shades, but it's a great starter for getting into 50 Shades. So you might want to learn a little bit more by going to a local munch. You might go to, you know, some event that is at one of your
sites.
Yeah, a munch is a an event that is at
delicious.
It is a bunch of kinky people that get together in a very kind of vanilla setting where they get together at a restaurant and just talk about the different weird, interesting kink events that are happening in their local neighborhood.
It's a networking event.
Okay,
yeah.
So I have listeners like all over the world, and definitely in, you know, the States, they're like, well, I live in small town, you know, USA or whatever. Where do I find the kinky people? I mean, what do you tell people? Where do you tell people to go?
Usually I say, you know, check out FetLife.com.
It's
the largest kink website. And if you look at groups that pertain to your area, you're going to find those networking events and those parties and that sort of thing. It's everywhere.
Yeah, there's kinky people everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it's just not isolated to, like, the bigger cities.
No, not at all. Like, you have to be somewhat near a medium-sized city. But, you know, it's like there's a medium-sized city probably within a couple of hours wherever you're at. And that's usually what we're seeing. They also, in some instances, do, like, Skype parties. So that if you are isolated, like, let's say you're in the middle of Alaska, nowhere near, if you're up in the Aleutian Islands, nowhere near Juneau or Anchorage, you can get on board with Skype or any kind of camming sort of equipment.
Yeah, we did an episode, one of the segments on the show. It was basically an online orgy where everyone got on, like, you know, your video conferencing software, and they all had a great time.
But they were all by themselves, so it was sort of voyeuristic in that they would be with their partners on the, whatever the cam service was, looking at other people, but nobody's really interacting for real. They're just watching.
So nobody's with their partner, even their partners, honestly?
No. There were some people that were with their partners. There was a couple of solo people, but it was like across the board.
So no matter where you are, you can just like sign on to Skype and have an orgy.
Technology is amazing.
Technology is amazing. Okay, so let's just get into what you guys have a lot going on. So Sunny Megatron, Ken Melvoinberg, and so you can find you at sunnymegatron.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you have your Showtime show, which is... first season's done, wild hit success, probably coming back for more.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Knock on wood.
And also at Sunny Megatron on Twitter and
It's Psychic Ken, but it looks like Psy Chicken, PSY Chicken.
I'm like, why chicken?
That was originally I was a professional tarot reader and astrologer is how I started my career off, and then I switched over to sex education. My background is actually in medical stuff from when I was in the service.
Oh, okay.
And I have a couple different degrees in medical related areas, but I thought it was kind of cool to learn how to read palms to pick up women.
Right. But did you really believe, like, do you really like still do the psychic stuff, or was that kind of like a...
You know what? I don't do it anymore. But I loved doing it because it was a great way to meet people. And who doesn't like being told their future? If you're at a bar, it's in a relaxing situation, and you had somebody sitting in a booth that would be telling you a little bit about your fortune. Do I believe in it? Sometimes. It just depends.
Right. bar. Okay, so Ken's from Michigan. I love that because you still have your accent.
Oh,
you
guys yeah.
Chicago, right?
We get
you guys have it.
Yeah, we still. You've lost yours.
I lost. Well, I've been in California for 20 years, but it's funny because when I first moved here, everyone was like, where are you from? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I, you know, but I love it. Bar, it's like I'm my people. Okay, so so tell me about this show. So you guys got into the show. No, back up. So you were in psychic. You were a psychic.
Correct.
Then you got into sex education. And suddenly you were.
I was a
corporate America.
Mom. Yeah, I worked for a major ad agency for like nearly two decades. And sex ed was my second career. I'd always wanted to get into it, but I was kind of your stereotypical, like, I get a lot of people that come to both of us that, you know, I've been married for 12 years, I've hit the sexual slump, you know, I'm rediscovering myself, and that was me at that point in my mid-30s, and I ended up, you know, getting out there, got on FetLife, met Ken on FetLife.
You did? Okay, yes. So you guys met on FetLife.
We did. Yes.
That
we
was
did
my
meet
question.
FetLife.
I wanted to ask how you guys met. So were you both... You had already been Ken in this world
For many years. Yeah,
he like it was born kinky. I had it.
Yeah,
suppressed.
I started kink in the 80s.
You were the pioneer. No, it's been around. That's cool. So you were in the 80s. So you met, and were you just like timidly going on FetLife because you hadn't really?
Yeah. I actually.
You didn't seem timid to me.
Well, you know, I was just exploring around. I actually met a couple of people on Craigslist, which I'm still here. Then they're like, hey, there's a site, FetLife. And so I was just slowly dipping my toes into the water, like all of the things that I imagined and that, you know, my fantasies I touched myself to that I didn't really think people did in real life. I was like, oh, there's a whole community. I had no idea.
So you weren't even... I mean, you didn't think they did it in real life. So were you just like, what were you watching? Porn?
The first exposure to kink I had was the Anne Rice beauty series I read when I was 22 or something.
Okay.
And... it was so dirty, but it was so hot. And I thought, seriously, that me and Anne Rice were the only two people that had, like, a weird, perverted, dirty imagination.
You're like, nobody else thinks this way.
Right, yeah. And I had no idea. No, I was completely naive.
And then you were married?
You said for 12. Yeah, well, it was a long-term relationship.
Okay, long-term relationship. Married.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And that was just like, you were in the slump, and you were just, no, nothing. So you had these fantasies still, but you don't know how to, you weren't, like, it wasn't with your partner.
So I found I became single. The economy went into a slump. I got laid off from my job. So it was kind of the perfect opportunity to reinvent myself. And boom, met Ken. Here we are.
Okay, so what happened? Tell me. So you go on FetLife looking for, like, what was it about Ken's, like, profile? Like,
well, he approached me first, and he commented, I got courage enough to put a picture of my boobs on the internet. Not my face. Not my face and my boobs at the same time.
No face together. Right, yeah. Right. I would never recommend
that. And he was like, hey, nice boobs. And that was our first connection. And he seemed really...
Which is a great thing. And that he says, you know, there's your left boob is bigger than your right boob. Like, that wouldn't have been great. But nice boobs is good.
Yeah. Well, nice boobs, because
I have
saggy grandma boobs. So I was like, he likes my saggy
I do.
Grandma
I do.
Boobs.
I love
awesome.
Them. I like natural boobs.
And, you know, I checked out his profile, and he seemed smart and, you know, intelligent and good looking and witty, except for he was into clown sex. And I was like, what? He seems so normal. Like, what is this dressing as a clown and having sex? And then as I got to know him, we kind of melded in that way, because to me, having silly sex, like you saw us with the unicorn mask. When you see 50 Shades of Grey, it's very serious. Very, I am the Dom. Get down on your knees. I'm going to punish you. And I can't. I laugh. I'm like, are you kidding me? Right. Are you serious? I can't.
One of our first scenes together was she used to do miming, and she dressed up like a mime. I was a clown, and I was like chasing around and torturing her at an S&M party.
And I couldn't
talk.
That
was your first date?
Tell her what her safe word was.
My safe word was just like me doing jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
As a mime, and
or she was trapped
talk.
In a box. No, that was our... fourth or
this
fifth
is a good
date.
Time. Wait, okay, got it. So clown sex. So this is your first thing. Like, I'm into clown sex. Were you like, what is that? Like, you dress like a clown? Like, you juggle?
A little of both.
I did.
And balloon bondage. That's one of the other things. Is I was really into balloon bondage. So I started off teaching rope bondage for many years. And so I took the kind of balloons, the real big skinny long ones that you do balloon animals with. And I would learn how to make handcuffs. I would do a complete like mummification on somebody where I would start wrapping at their feet and go all the way up to the top of their head and put silly kind of like big penis hats on them, and then like make wrist restraints, and then take a single tail whip, and I would like take off the balloons one at a time, and it was just a lot of fun. So it sounds really scary, and it's literally just scary sounding because they pop. And there's like when a balloon pops, there's actually a sonic right. boom that's created. So it's just a little bit ouchy. It's because the whip never hits you. The only thing that happens is the balloon pops on your skin. So psychologically, it sort of screws with your head a little bit, but right. it's not really going to hurt you.
So you guys are into BDSM, but not. It's not in a different way.
I wasn't really. I was interested in BDSM, but I didn't know that you could. Because I laugh. I'm a very humorous person. Right. I couldn't be serious, and for me, it was like, oh my goodness, sex doesn't have to be serious. I was always afraid, like, my hair's going to get messed up and my makeup's going to get messed up and I'm going to have the fat rolls and my one boob's going to be in my armpit, and being a clown and having fun BDSM.
So you were a clown too, or?
But after she met me, I realized it gave me permission to have my funny, silly, messy, laughy sex that I always wanted to have, but I thought I had to be like the movies where it was so serious.
Right, like in your lingerie. No, like, yeah. Exactly. Perfect, right.
But you know, but seriously, sex is funny. There's noises. People fart. There is all sorts of groans and moans.
And it's okay.
And it's okay to do that,
like,
yeah.
Is it bad? I farted. Is he ever going to call? I'm like, and if he doesn't, he's not the guy for you. Like,
exactly. Yeah, totally, totally.
You know? Like, it is messy. And if you want to be with someone who respects you, who's like into whatever, your period happens, you know,
right,
yep, exactly.
Deal with it.
Absolutely.
So then clown sex, then he had you at clown sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then how else did you like open up together, would you say? Like, you've always been into more kinkier stuff. So what was like the next?
I started being a submissive for Ken. I started out that way. I really tried, and I realized
she did a really good job.
It wasn't for her.
Like
it,
living in that way, like you guys, like
no.
Just when you had sex.
Just in the bedroom. Because
just in the bedroom.
I can't live that way. But in the bedroom, I try bottoming and taking the spankings, and he can be really sadistic. And I have a high pain tolerance, but I wasn't quite into it. And then I realized, like, I want to be you. I want to be the dominant one. And it was hard for me to embrace that, you know, to be like, I'm in control in the bedroom because I've never played that role before. So we have an open relationship. I kind of became his co-pilot.
Which was awesome because I let her know that you don't have to be in one category. You can try. I was a submissive when I started off because I wanted to try all this stuff so I know what it feels like to do to somebody else. And with her, I said, you can totally be a top if you want. You can be the one in charge, or you can be an evil assistant. And she can actually be more sadistic and funny than I can as the evil assistant.
I love being the evil assistant because in order to be a dominant, and especially one that is as sadistic as he is, it takes a lot of planning. And I am too busy. I have two kids. I am planning everything the time.
Okay.
I don't want all that preparation and cleanup. So he's in charge of all of the prep work. I just step in when it's like, whose ass do you want me to hit?
Right.
And it's perfect.
And then how do you, okay, so you guys are, okay, back up. This is so interesting. So you're in an open relationship. Yeah, you are married.
And we are married, but we have always been in an open relationship. In fact, I think it took us a year before we actually said, I love you to one another.
And admitted we were a thing.
And then we moved in like shortly thereafter. Yeah. Like, and her and the girls moved in, and now we're just a big happy family.
Okay. And do the girls, so your kids, do they know that you're in an open relationship and they know what's going on?
We don't really talk about that with them. My older one is in college. She's going into her second year in college. She knows. I mean, I've talked about it when we were dating, but she isn't really like, so mom, you know, where are you going Friday night or anything? We don't.
You know, that's a really good question. But like the thing that I think, my kids could be 50 years old and I don't think I'd talk about my sex life to them.
Right. Because they're your kids.
It just isn't pertinent.
Right. No, I got it. Okay. So you guys, how do you find so is it constant, like, there's obviously times where just the two of you, but is it usually like every weekend you have a new person, or do you guys see people separately? Like,
it's,
how does your
it's actually
open relationship
very rare.
Work?
It's actually very rare, and it's funny because we were talking about the more that we date other people, and it's more on a casual basis. It's not like we want to meet a third partner and all.
No, yeah, we don't want. Yeah, we don't.
You know,
want any of that.
It's just for fun, and the more that we date other people, the more we realize what a pain in the ass other people are, and that we like each other.
Well, that's kind of good.
Yeah,
see, I think that's healthy in a way. You're like, I want to go out there, and then I'm like, oh, God,
it
I missed
satisfies
you.
Our
this
curiosity.
Sucked.
Yeah. It's satisfies our curiosity and cements the fact, like, I don't want to put up with anybody else's BS but his BS.
And it's interesting because having an open relationship for us, like, I have, the older I get, the more I have younger women that are attracted to me because they have sort of a daddy, you know, daddy thing.
You're
going on. Yes, I am.
You're
a DILF.
One
of the issues that we had is that the more the younger girls were attracted to me, the more I was sort of bored with them because it took the like, having an open relationship in a way takes the naughtiness out of it because I have permission and license to do almost anything I want. And that actually makes it less naughty, believe it or not. And so
that's, you know, why people like to cheat. They're like, wow.
Yeah, no, no, totally. It's, but we have an rush. Open relationship. You know, there's times when I do hook up with somebody. It might be like 3 a.m. I'm at a party or a social event. And usually we're together 90% of the time. But if I'm alone, I'll call her up and say, hey, this girl wants to give me a blowjob. Is that okay? And she says, yeah, have good sex. I'm going to bed.
Seriously? So, okay, yeah. So this is how it works. So you couldn't just get the blowjob. Like, that's because every couple in an open relationship has to make their own rules.
Right.
Right.
So you're like, hold on, babe, there. Like, your pants might even be, you're like, I just got to call and then check in.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't unzip anything until I get permission from her first.
Do you ever say no, Sonny?
No.
Not yet.
No. We have veto power, and I reserve that for just, you know, if someone gives me a really bad vibe, but I haven't really had that. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh God, she's a flake. You know, this is going to last a week.
Oh yeah.
And
basically, she could do the odds in Vegas for the relationship status I have with other people. She's like, this one's going to take about 3 weeks, and she's usually right.
Yeah, that's great.
And oftentimes, you know, when we say hook up, it doesn't have to be anything sexual. It could purely be just like a BDSM thing. Like, I want you to flog me. I want you to kind of mess with my mind, and there's not sex involved.
Do you guys ever just have like vanilla sex though some nights?
All, like, most of the time.
Because it's like, it's a lot of work to like do all the prep and like, set it up, right?
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's funny though, because sometimes it's impromptu. We had, right now there's a competition between me and a couple of other of my female friends who are in either open relationships or single, and we have a point system. We're kind of doing, it's like Fight Club, but it's about sex,
right?
Where we are trying to get points for doing certain acts. So when we got here to LA, one of our friends from Chicago arrived, and we both helped her out together by doing some fisting on her, and I actually put on my unicorn hood. I put a condom over the unicorn horn and two over the hooves, and we were doing fisting on her so that she could
with
get 5 points with the hooves. Yeah, totally.
Condom over the hoof.
Condom over the hoof. So we had magnums over them.
What are the hooves? Are they like bigger than your hand? Like,
yeah, there's like, I'll show you in just a second so that you can see.
You literally have the hooves with you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to take some pictures.
We're going to have to take some pictures of this for sure.
We're going to have to do some video, check it all out, and talk with Emily. And speaking of video, okay, so you have your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Which is?
Yeah, it's just Sonny Megatron. I'm Sonny Megatron.
You're Sonny Megatron everywhere. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your Sex with Sonny Megatron and Showtime. Like, how did you guys come up with the idea for the show and like, tell me, just that's what you're doing anyway,
well,
going around?
You know, I was doing the YouTube videos, and Ken and I sometimes do them together. He has some mail reviews. And our business partner now, Paul Fishbein, who's like the founder of the AVN, you know, the adult video news empire, was looking for an educator to do just like a webisode series. And he found me on YouTube. And he's like,
I love it. It's like the American dream.
Exactly. And then things progressed from there. And all three of us were working together. And one day he's like, you know, you guys ever thought about doing a show? You want to do a show? And we're like, yeah. So, you know, the three of us sat down, we put some ideas on paper, and boom, we got a show. I mean,
Showtime.
It was the American dream.
Right, it is.
That
it
does
is.
Not happen.
It,
so then
it's
you
sort of
went around
first.
And you just talked, you went to different sex scenarios each episode, like you covered different things going on with sex.
Yeah, us and Paul and Jay had gotten together, the executive producers and the creators of the show, and we talked about all these different sorts of segments that we wanted to try. And we had things like clown sex. We had things like, what were some of the other great examples? Like having sex in a hot environment and a cold environment. And so we sort of did like a sexual Mythbusters sort of thing.
Yeah, so we have some, you know, sciencey sort of.
Did you guys have sex on the show?
No,
we did not.
Not at all.
Everyone else was
I do my stuff in private. I'm you know, I'm right. Very
except
neutral.
Except for the boob picture when you guys met.
Exactly.
No one's
and that was
that
friends
since.
Only anyway. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. Okay.
But basically the show takes people through various sexual scenarios, fetishes, you know, whatever it is. And what we're hoping to show is the human element and, you know, whether clown sex, it sounds
weird.
Because
everyone's going, I know, I feel like I have to keep getting into the clown sex. Where does that come from? Like, were you, like, have, like, fear of clowns when you were little and then you sexualized
it,
you know?
That's exactly what, well, I had a grandfather that was in the circus and some of my first fondest memories are of the circus. And I was actually extremely attracted to the tightrope walkers and the trapeze artists because of the skimpy outfits. And the clowns were also one of my favorites. And since then, I've become kind of an expert on clowns. And I've done stuff like there's a documentary that I was in called Killer Legends. It's on Netflix now. And it's about the history of clowns and all sorts of true crime stuff. But the it's interesting.
But is it clowns? Is that like, are there other people that are really into clowns?
Oh, there's a ton of people here in LA. Snow Mercy throws clown parties on a regular basis, and she was on our show doing a different segment. But since then, the clown thing has actually taken off in a huge way, and there's getting clown parties all over the United States
because people already had it, or like, oh, I can get off on that, or they already had it, but they thought it was like a secret thing that no one else.
That's exactly it's a combination. More, I would say, more secret because they felt weird.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you normalize sex. Everyone just wants to know if they're normal. It's like, fine, it turned you on. You're like, everything's good, you know?
And the thing is, you know, with from the most bizarre to the most mundane type of sex that we show on the show, it's basically if you break all of those things down to their basic common denominator, you know, I want to feel connected to my partner, or I want to feel uninhibited, not like I have to be perfect, or, you know, I want to, if someone wants to be, let's say, controlled and they're submissive, it's because when I'm being controlled, I feel loved and like somebody cares about me. So when you break it down to the basic need or the basic feeling, these things aren't so weird. We're all looking for the same things. They just manifest differently for whoever is into whatever.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the question is, so people watching your show, I mean, is it more like, because there are a lot of couples, I mean, you know, who are in that period, that slump, and they want to spice things up. Maybe 50 Shades of Grey did turn them on, which is why I started with that article, because I know you guys teach all that stuff, but they don't even know how to start. Like, I'm not into clowns, and I can't tie anyone out with balloons, but like, what do we do? Like, how do we, like, I'm titillated, but I don't, you know, people just, they never know how to talk to their partner about it. Like, what do you guys?
Right. Well, you know, first of all, hopefully the show and what we do inspire couples to talk to each other. That's number one.
Communication
is key.
We're so
afraid to talk about sex. And, you know, whether you're kinky or not, or whether you're in an open relationship or not, some of those alternative sexual practices encourage communication. And that's what everybody should be doing.
I know.
And also watching the show, it lets people realize that there are other people out there that aren't satisfied with their kind of humdrum, whatever their sex life is, and that there are resources out there, whether it's books, whether it's your podcast, whether it's the classes that we teach.
Or whether it's people like Dr. Charlie
everywhere.
Glickman, who's like one of the anal experts that we deal with.
I know Charlie. He's been on the show.
Charlie is awesome.
He's
anal
expert.
He is.
He kept inviting me. Did you guys go to his thing Friday night? And we were at the sexual expo.
We didn't.
No,
he
we
said,
missed
you coming,
it.
You coming? You coming? I'm like, I can't come. I've never been to one of his hands-on workshops.
Yeah.
With the prostate massage. I would love to witness that, but I haven't been. Yeah, right. There's like something for. So I feel like the show. Was there anything when you guys were filming your show that even surprised you or that was new to you or that?
No.
No?
There, not for me.
There wasn't, in terms of sexual practices, I would say not so much. We did a feature, and this I've never seen before, even though for mycophilia.
Oh, yeah, that I taught about for years.
Insect fetish. Now, I know about it. Like, people get off on the insects crawling on your skin, but I had never seen it. So we had a guy with the crickets and, like, a scorpion. And I was standing on the furniture because I'm like, that's his, you know, I'm not going to shame him. Because that's his thing.
No,
that's
right. Cool. No, it's cool.
And
cool.
I actually understood. He's like, it's the sensation to him. The feeling of the you know, the little feet of the bugs feels good to him. And I'm like, I get it. I'm still terrified of those things and I'm standing on the furniture, but I get it. I can appreciate that you like it.
And one of the other great things about our show, it's one of the only sex-positive shows that is on a major network. And my job on the show is as a consulting producer, which means that while she's hosting and she's talking, I'm making sure that the different sexual subcommunities are represented in the way that they want to be, that we don't, you know, like this recent fiasco with Game of Thrones. With the rape controversy that they had, I make sure that my job is to make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen, that we have sort of somebody that's going to take a look at it in a broader sense and make sure that people are called what they want to be called, that we use the proper words, and that everybody is safe across the board, and that we have healthy practices for everything, and that people are consensual, that they have negotiated everything, and that they know what they're getting into when they come to our show.
Which is so important, because there's so many, because I feel like something like 50 Shades of Grey, I felt like the movie, actually, I mean, and the book. But if you just saw the movie and you knew nothing, you're like, people like just don't get it. Like, they were trying to be like, I don't get why that feels good. I mean, there's so many people just don't have the education around it. And the movie was confusing, I think, for some people, many people, like who never even heard of it. Like, that's what it's about. So there wasn't enough education about it. And I could see television in a lot of ways. They've done it. Like, look at these people. It's kind of crazy, but you. made it like, you know, relatable and smart.
And we get
like
to know every, you know, couple or person that is featured. We sit down and we get to know them and we talk to them. So, you know, you get a little bit connected to these people and we learn about the relatable day-to-day things. Like, these aren't weirdos. These are your next door neighbors.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's maybe your siblings or maybe even you.
Yeah, we had like IT guys. We had physicians, engineers, people that were professionals. We had blue collar folks that worked in factories, people that actually worked in sex clubs, but maybe they were a dominatrix and they didn't feel like in their personal life they could be submissive because it's their job to be a bossy, dominant female all day long. But what they really want is to have their boyfriend spank them.
Right. And then I always say that too. So I always say to people, like, for 10 years on it, communication is a lubrication. But I just feel like saying that, it's not even just about communication, because if you're, it's almost like I've started lately trying to teach people, like, this is how you do it. Because if you've been with someone for so long and you've never talked about sex, which is more common than not,
it's hard to start.
It's almost like I feel like there needs to be new tools. It can't just be like, so honey, I know we've been together 15 years having sex, but like, where do we start this conversation? You know? And I think that's why you got to bring things in from the outside. So maybe you watch something together. You know, I mean, is there anything? I mean, in your you guys teach classes all over.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so do you have any classes that just work with couple? I mean, I think that would be so interesting.
Like, yeah.
All of our classes are applicable to couples. For instance, we teach a blowjob class. And a lot of people think it's a blowjob class. It's going to be taught by a woman and only women are going to be there. Or people who blow, you know. And no, we teach together as a couple, as a giver
and
a
receiver of any sex act.
There are a lot of couples that will come to our blowjob classes. And it's very validating for someone to come with their partner who has a penis and for their partner with the penis to hear what we're saying and turn to their partner and go, that's absolutely correct.
See, I love that because people, I've taught a blowjob class and people are like, oh, well, what do you know? What do you know? But it's right. And then next what I am teaching, I'm going to have like a guy friend there who's like, can help me teach it together because it's like, well, what do you know? It's just better to have both of your perspectives on that.
Absolutely.
And everyone wants to know about blowjobs. So we're going to take a quick break and I would love to get your best blowjob tips.
Awesome.
Okay, because who doesn't want to give a better blowjob? But first, okay, to my amazing listeners, let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? You'd probably love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more. They want to give you 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. Because, you know, hey, I know you still have that DVD player, and who doesn't want that, right? Number 10, free shipping. I hate when people charge you for shipping. It makes me insane. Give me free shipping, goddammit. So what do you have to do to get your first 10 free gifts? It is not hard at all. Go to AdamandEve.com, select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, anything you desire. Literally, anything you think about. I don't know if they have unicorn masks. They might, but you know, you should go to Adam and Eve, check it out. Enter offer code Emily at checkout. 10 free gifts, AdamandEve.com. Free shipping, the whole deal. That's Emily, code Emily at AdamandEve.com. Okay, Sunny and Ken. Hello. Thank you for being here. This is so fun. Let's get into friggin' blowjobs, okay?
Right.
Because I swear to God, every single day you get a blowjob question, it's like either it's from emails or it's on the street. Like my, you know, what do I do? My partner wants more blowjobs. I don't like giving them. Or, you know, you always hear the whole like, adage, we got married, that was my last blowjob. Like, say goodbye to blowjobs. How do you get people to, I mean, if we're going to get tips, but what about, let's just take a stereotypical woman, for example.
Right.
Not stereotypical, but like let's talk about like a straight couple, okay? Vanilla. And she just like doesn't like it. Like she's with someone, she's like, I just don't like the taste, the smell, maybe not good at it. Who knows? There's a million things. And like I'm like, well, you know, pretend it's like an extension of him and you love him and you want, but how do you guys teach it? Have you ever like had he converted? How do you convert?
Absolutely.
Tons of people.
When we teach our blowjob classes, the first portion of the class is devoted to the psychology of the blowjob, both from the giver and the receiver's point of view. Now, when I teach about giving blowjobs, I was the person who hated giving the blowjobs.
I love
couldn't
this.
Stand
okay.
it. First of all, I have jaw issues. So I have TMJ, my face hurts. I have an extra small mouth. So when I go to the dentist, he has to use pediatric size instruments on my mouth.
Okay.
And even
you can give a blowjob.
Exactly. I grew up thinking the only way to give a blowjob was to like turn your face into a vacuum cleaner, deep throat the whole time, you know, your jaw is sore. And it wasn't until I realized that first of all, I was in control of the blowjob. I could be comfortable giving the blowjob. It's not all about my mouth. I can do, there's blowjob hacks. And because I have the extra small mouth, right. I need to employ lots of blowjob hacks. And I don't know how to deep throat at all. And that's not necessary because you have hands.
Hands
and
are your best friends.
Even like, you know, some of us can lift up our boobs and, slide them on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I
mean, there are so many other things you can do. And as long as you're making the penis feel good and it's wet and, you know, he doesn't care if it's all my mouth or a little hand or what. It feels good. And I'm down there being enthusiastic about it, which just that in and of itself makes him a lot happier.
Right. And to be honest, I've had a lot of blowjobs in my life, and she's the best. I've had porn stars blow me. I've had swingers.
What makes her the best?
It's just skill, and she's a natural born cocksucker.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both.
From the first time she gave you a blowjob?
From the first time she gave me a blowjob, she's absolutely amazing. And I think it was that she would anticipate my needs. She does a lot with the hands. And then we also communicate. So one of the good hacks that we teach people are watch your guy jack off, because the way that he jacks off is the way that he wants to have his penis touched. The other thing is that men need to know that they can have a blowjob as either an appetizer before the sex or have it as a main course. And if you communicate to somebody that you want it as the main course, it gives you permission to sort of cut loose, and you kind of know more what you're expecting.
Then you can chill, right? Because then he's thinking like, oh, I shouldn't come yet because we're about to have
sex. And I don't know how many times I've given a blowjob where, I'm like, doing my thing and I'm thinking, okay, is this it? What am I doing? Should I stop? Right. Should we turn around? Should I keep going? I don't know. And that takes away from me being in the moment and just enjoying.
So what's the hack? You're just like, babe, this is for you. Like, come, I want you to come in my mouth, whatever. And then you send that message to him, or I want you to, beforehand, you're like, this blow, because you can't be like, this blow job is just, this is going to be the main course. Here I go.
Okay. Yeah, well, we talk about it before the blowjob actually begins. And then, like, we talk about tips with one another, and we actually review ourselves. Like, whenever we're using anything from toys, maybe she's, pressing a little bit on my perineum or giving me a prostate massage in addition to blowing me. So we talk about what we're going to be doing ahead of time.
We
back up.
Sure.
So you've got, like, a production schedule almost beforehand. You're like, this blowjob is going to involve the perineum.
Well, no, it's more, we're making out, or I got the hands there, and it's like, so what do you want to do? Do you want this to be all about you today? Or, he'll be like, no, I think, why don't you get me going? Then I want to turn you around after that. Or, so it's
I didn't think you were sending any Excel spreadsheet or anything.
Although there are some, that makes her hot, by the way. Excel, she loves Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, that's one of my kinks, Excel spreadsheets.
Seriously?
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Excel makes me cry. I can't even open my P&L. I'm like, I really like it. It's like Chinese to me. I seriously can't read it, but that's I wish I could. Go ahead. It's another thing. It's business.
One of the things that we do is we actually do have, because we are sexologists, we have to test a lot of sex toys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Toys with blowjobs. Let's go for some.
One of the best toys for guys. One of the best toys for guys is a teardrop cock ring that's made out of metal. What it is it's shaped like a tear that's sort of bent into a curve. And it gives you an external prostate massage. And
so
it's like metal Viagra. Yeah, the first time she had it, she saw that, like, how huge, because it's restricting blood flow, my cock was like the Hulk and veins were popping out.
I could almost hear the skin scratching.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's absolutely amazing feeling.
It's metal, completely metal.
Completely metal, yeah. You put in one testicle, then the second, and then the flaccid cock goes in. But, it's funny because we learned a very good tip recently.
Always learning.
I have 3 degrees all in medical-related areas. And we were talking to some EMT friends, and they said one of the problems that they've been having recently is that somebody created a cock ring made out of titanium. The saws they have in the ER can't cut through that, so they actually had to call the fire department to get this guy out of a cock ring because his erection wouldn't go down. And
I've heard this. I have a friend who works in the hospital. He's like, these people keep coming in with cock rings. I just heard the same
thing. And it's titanium. Like, the softer metal's aluminum and stainless. Right. That's not a problem.
Yeah,
but titanium's too hard.
Even if people get nervous with, like, the aluminum or stainless ones, they make, like, Tantus makes a great
silicone
version.
Silicone one, yeah.
Okay. Teardrop.
Tantus, right.
Yeah.
So you can probably get that at Adam and Eve, people's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you, but then it has a prostate. Can you talk? Let's talk about the prostate for a minute.
Sure.
So, because I think it is, we talk about it a lot on the show. We've had Charlie on everything. But there are a lot of people who are, like, afraid of it. I'm always like, just try it. Like, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. But it could be this amazing thing. But you also have to be careful if you don't know what you're doing. So would you just recommend they would get this cock ring to go in there? I mean, where would you say would be, like, the beginning prostate action during a blowjob? or just
in you know what? Well, like with the prostate stuff, we actually talk about that ahead of time because you don't want to like surprise somebody, especially because most hetero men are so scared to put things in their butt, and that has nothing to do with who they love. It has to do with like there's a lot of nerve endings in there. It feels really good, but like we talk about it ahead of time. And our most popular video to date, I think it's over 200,000 hits now, which is good for a sex review video on YouTube, is when I got my first prostate massage from her. And even though I had been into this for a long time, just never had one. And they're so good for men's health because having a monthly prostate massage actually lessens the chance of you getting prostate cancer by almost 30%.
That's what I've heard. So you actually do the prostate massage.
Yeah. And I mean, you can go to the urologist and the urologist can do it, but he won't blow you.
But the urologist won't blow you.
Then you got to go out and see the nurse. It's all awkward after. Might as well just do it with you. So you teach it. That's amazing. Because I think that people are very confused by it. And
there's a very simple reason, by the way, why it gets rid or why it helps reduce cancer, because massaging the prostate actually oxygenates the prosthetic fluid and gets rid of any viral, bacterial, or fungal buildups.
I
and it's as simple as that.
Too.
It's like, bam, it's gone.
That. I know. That's great. So they should check it out on your YouTube page.
Yeah. And there's so many people who are like, you know, I'm afraid to try it. And finally they try it and they come to me and they're like, I don't know why I didn't do that years ago. My orgasm like multiplied, you know, tenfold. It was amazing. Like I saw like deities come out from the heavens and I spoke in tongues. And,
exactly.
You know, yes.
I was on Jason Ellis's SiriusXM show the other day. You guys know Jason? And he was like, the first thing, I'd never met him, but like within the first 2 minutes, he's like, I never had one. My girlfriend gave me a promise. I had six orgasms. Like, he was like freaking out about it, you know? And he was like, it was like the best thing I've ever experienced. It was pretty recent. And, you know, I just think that, you know, I mean, I'm always telling, I mean, I've talked about this for years, that they keep... Do you ever met anyone who didn't like it? I mean, it was...
No.
You do it wrong.
No, yeah. And, you know, and I've met a lot of people that are afraid, and it took them a while to do it. And then all of them, when they're like, I don't know why I didn't do this before. I don't know why I was scared. And I say to a lot of people, if they're afraid to do it with their partner, there are plenty of toys, like the Anaros toys. You can do it by yourself. Because, you know, I encourage people, if you're afraid to do it, if you just can't do it with a partner, try it alone
first. The Anaros, right? The Tantris, or what's it called? The Anaros toy, the one that's just for, or I guess they're all for men, but the
right.
That's a
they have a whole huge line of them. Also, the Enjoy Pure One, the small end of the Enjoy Pure One is one of the things that I prefer to use for my prostate. Like if I'm making her squirt with G spot action, we use the big end. The small end is for my prostate.
Mm-hmm. Right, I love the Enjoy too. Okay, let's talk about squirting. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Okay, had you always squirted?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is so good. I'm glad we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. Okay, because when I first started, we always like, anal's the new blowjob. Okay, that was like something we were saying like 10 years ago. And now I feel like squirting's the new anal. And then I actually was going to ask you what's going to come after squirting. But let's stick with squirting for a second. Because I get this all the time now, because I think that people saw it in porn and whatever. Like, can anyone learn to squirt?
Yes, you know, most people can. However, I usually preface the whole, like, I need to learn how to work my G-spot by... Not everyone likes it.
Right,
it may not be everything it's cracked up to, because you see it in the porns. You see people going, you know, the magazine articles like, hey, yeah, G-spots are the new anal kind of thing. And you might be expecting a lot more of it than really is.
Right.
And I usually tell people that learning how to, you know, quote unquote, work your G-spot is a lot like riding a bike. All the magazine articles will make you think, oh, it's just a magic button. And once you find it, you just press it and you're, you know, Old Faithful.
And bam,
and
you win at sex.
Like that. Right. It's like learning how to ride a bike. Some of us might get it in a few weeks. Some of us, it might take months, you know, whatever it is. But it's a lot, the ride is a lot more fun, at least learning, than learning how to ride a bike and falling on your butt.
Right.
So I think us adjusting our expectations about what squirting is, what, you know, having G-spot orgasms is.
Because they're two different things. Because you can squirt and not have an orgasm.
Right. Or you can do them together as well.
Exactly. Which is amazing if that happens. But I think that a lot of people think it's both.
Right.
Like, you know, and it's not for everyone.
Oh, and one of the other big misconceptions is that sometimes people dribble a little bit, but it's because maybe their urethra was dragged inside and they have a retrograde squirt that goes in towards the body instead of outwardly.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So for you, when you, so you hadn't squirted until Ken got his hands on you?
No, actually, I got my hands on myself.
Yeah, she got her hands on herself.
I became single, and I was like, this is it. You know, I'm in my mid-30s. If I don't use it now, I'm going to break a hip, and I'm never going to be able to use it. So I went out, and I got all these toys, and
Had you had a G-spot orgasm before?
No,
I had not. Oh, okay, so let's talk about your journey to your G-spot then. So you're single, you get toys.
Right, so I was just, you know, I got all these toys, and I had been laid off, so the kids were in school all day, so I was like laying in my bed, touching myself for hours, and I realized for me, usually after I have a clitoral orgasm, because I'm a clitoral girl, most of us are, that's kind of my prime time. And I got a curved toy that was similar to the Enjoy Pure Wand, a little bit different, but similar concept. And it happened. And I was like, oh, what just happened? Oh, my goodness. It was great. So I you know, it was a slow progression.
But it didn't happen probably the first day you sat home and said, I'm going to have G-spot. This is what I try to tell you.
It's a practice.
It's not going to happen. And I think that a lot of women just assume, well, it's never happened with a penis, never happened to intercourse. I only have clitoral orgasms. I'm like, not true. Like, how much time have you spent trying to figure it out? And there's different toys. Use your finger. I mean, fingers are a great place. But toys, why not just get a toy? Figure that out.
Exactly. And to be honest with you, even though I have G-spot orgasms now and they feel good and I can squirt now, I still prefer my clitoral orgasms. They're two different animals. They're apples and oranges, and sometimes I like to eat apples. Usually I like to eat the oranges, but an apple every once in a while is okay. But it didn't change my life.
It didn't change your life, but it felt good. It was a little different. Yeah. And then were you able to transfer that into having, when you were having sex?
Not with a penis. I still can't do it with a penis, which isn't abnormal.
But I like having lots of toys. That's like a special treat for me. Like if I think that she's warmed up enough and she can squirt, we break out the Enjoy or the glass version of it.
He sits right there and he's like,
and I love it.
Yeah,
and
just watches.
No, it's hot. No, that's awesome. I love that. And it is true. That is a good point that I always say that you have. Most women do need to have the clitoral, be aroused, have a clitoral orgasm first.
Right.
Okay. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think this, we were like, I don't remember who it was. I was talking to like everyone I talked about sex. They're like, I kept trying. It was a friend of mine that had never had a G-spot. So I gave her a bunch of toys. And she's like, I can't do it. I was like, no, you got to start. She's like, because she always had clitoral orgasms. They're like, no, you got to start. So it's an important point.
Well, I think
for everyone, but get warmed up. Do what you know.
It's important for women to understand that our erectile tissue is on the inside. So just like you can't expect a man to have an orgasm without, having an erection, getting worked up. It's the same with us. But we can't see when we're warmed up and when our erectile tissue is engorged and we have, our internal hard-on, so to speak.
Exactly.
So I usually recommend having clitoral orgasm first, because that's usually a pretty surefire way to know all that erectile tissue is engorged and ready to go.
Okay.
Lady boners are invisible.
But yes. Exactly. But they do exist.
They do exist.
So what are some of your favorite toys now? Anything new come into your life that's changed your life?
Oh, gosh.
Changed that moment?
My new favorite is the Entice Body Wand. It's a silicone. It's sort of like a Hitachi wand, but it's a mini, but both ends vibrate. So it has the Hitachi-ish head and then kind of a pointy end on the other end, and they can both vibrate. And I love it, and it's rechargeable. So that's kind of been a new favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about G-spot toys? What do you like for that?
I'm an Enjoy Pure Wand girl. There's also the Comet G by Jopin. It's a similar shape to the Enjoy, but it's got some vibration to it. Even though I find myself, for my G-spot, I'm not into the vibration. Some people are, but
The thing, too. Some of them vibrate, some of them don't.
Right.
You might just want
Toys that vibrate, especially for someone who's new and doesn't know if they like vibration or not, because if you don't like vibration, just don't turn it on.
Exactly.
And if you find that you like vibration, great. If you find that you discover G-spot and you don't like it, you can use that vibrating toy as a clit toy and just use it externally. So to me, it's more dual purpose if you're not sure.
Right. And that's why this is all about experimentation. And I think this is such a helpful conversation, because people just write off that they can't have it certain ways. That's why they make so many toys now. That's why toys are changing so much with technology and the silicone and rechargeable. It is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to get a few. Like, they might not be the one for, but you just got to keep trying and see what works, because it's different. Just because I love a toy, especially having my staff, my intern, I'm like, this is my favorite. They're like, oh, I didn't love that one, but I love this. We talk about it. We're having actually... you know, our next shows would be, we do a lot of intern sex toy review days, and like a lot of them have like the first orgasms. It's very exciting. And, but you know, they might not love what I love, and we discuss it. And I think that that just helps people realize like we're all freaking different.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can recommend my favorites and tell you what they do, but you gotta, you know, figure
try it
out your
for
own
yourself.
Body.
Yeah. Exactly. It's interesting that a lot of the companies now are just coming out with good sex toys for men. Like the Cobra Libre is one of my favorites, and that's Fun Factory, I believe.
Fun Factory.
And what it does is like most, like the Fun Factory Cobra Libre and then the Hot Octopus are all things that basically vibrate really, really strongly on the frenulum outside of the head of the cock. So it's only that first inch and a half to 2 inches is what they're focusing on the bottom side of it, but it is the equivalent of a clitoris at that point. So
right.
It's just,
I mean,
it's focusing on that.
Okay, wait, so it's not, so you put it over your, and it just stimulates the frenulum, which I always say is the underside of the penis.
Yeah, it's the underside. If you take your finger and you put it out, like if you're pointing straight out, the bottom side of the penis, it has more pleasure receptors than the top side. So
just like
especially
finger.
Just like your finger.
How do guys always go up and down their shaft and they don't just, how do they not know that?
You know what they do, but they just haven't thought about how to relate it.
Right. Okay. Got it. So what is the toy that you said?
It's the Cobra Libre by Fun Factory, and then the Hot Octopus is the other one.
I got it. I love Fun Factory toys, and I love how they charge. I love all their buttons, the whole thing. It's a great toy. So I think it's because I'm always talking about toys for women, a little bit for men, but I feel like vibrations, toys, not just for women. Like, I should go a little shopping. Mm-hmm. Go shopping. Okay, you guys help me answer an email. Here, how's that? Okay, thanks, everyone. I appreciate you emailing me feedback at sexwithemily.com. I love hearing from you. Okay, and now we've got 3 people here to help you with all your problems. So here we go. Or your issues, your challenges. I don't even like saying problems. This is the challenge. Hi, Emily. I'm a new listener, and I'm enjoying getting caught up on many of your recent podcasts since I have a very long trip to work. I'm looking for ways to spice things up with my wife when I return home in a few weeks and think she might like some erotica since she loves literature and writing fiction and short stories. However, even though she's a sexual and sensual woman, I don't think she'd be into or appreciate anything too graphic or hardcore. Can you suggest any websites, books, or other sources where we could find something for couples that's hot and gets us both going but wouldn't be perceived as degrading to women or otherwise embarrass or turn her off? Thanks, Dave.
All right. Well, as we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, have you seen 50 Shades of Grey? Because that really is the movie, even though, like I said, you know, if I'm dissecting it from a how-to point of view, it's lacking, but it's beautiful. It's pretty to look at.
It is pretty to look at.
It got me, you know, moist in the crotch area,
right?
You know?
Right.
So that's a great place to start. Depending on how graphic she wants to be, there is a lot of, you know, female-centric porn, feminist porn out there. That might be something that's up her alley, just depending on, you know, how many parts she wants to see. One of my favorite websites is Beautiful Agony.
Oh, I love Beautiful Agony.
And it's, you know, you don't see any private parts, nothing. It's just a camera on the face of someone who's having an orgasm.
Right.
And that is, even though it's completely, you know, technically, you know, very clean because you're not seeing anything, it is one of the most erotic things I have ever seen.
I saw it when I first started my show. Like, someone's like, "Have you seen Beautiful Ugly?" And no, like 10 years ago, it's been around, and it's still it's a subscription site.
Yeah, right, it's like a monthly, and it's I can't remember how much, but it's not too expensive.
No, but it's high.
And
like it's watching women's faces have an orgasm,
and they have some free videos too, so you can log on and like check out a couple, and maybe that'll do it.
I've got a couple suggestions too. Yeah. Anne Rice's new book. Her new book in the Beauty series. What's the? Do you remember the name?
Oh, Beauties. Kingdom.
And there's another one. Nina Hartley's husband, Ernest Green, wrote a book called Master of O. So it's sort of a continuation of the story. But if they're into some of the BDSM perspective stuff, even on a light level, the Master of O is a great form of erotica. And they just came out, if they're like me and they're a comic book geek, they came out with an illustrated novel version of the Master of O. And that just came out in March.
Okay. And he was on my show, actually, probably about 6 months ago, if you want
Ernest,
to remember that episode.
He's awesome.
I think so. He's great. And Nina.
And Nina, of course.
Oh, my God. They're so fun. I know. And then also Story of O.
Yep.
Classic.
Story of O.
Yeah, it's all good. Okay, so I think we have time for one more. Okay. Dear Emily. Oh, here's another thing. Guys, when you email me, I love it. And if you could tell me where you live, it'd be awesome. And also how you listen to the show and how old you are. That helps us a lot. Okay. My name is Pam H. I'm from Massachusetts. I'm 30 years old, been married for 5 years, together with my hubby for 15 years, high school sweethearts. I had a baby girl 16 months ago, and I know that with hormonal changes, I can be pretty dry. My husband does still excite me very much. I'm still very attracted to him. We honestly don't have sex too much because, well, the baby and working full time, it's just hard to find the time. Last week, we had sex 2 days in a row. Both times were great, but the second day he pulled out the lube. We have the standard KY. Well, I offered sex the third day, and he said as much as he'd love to, he couldn't because he was raw. He showed me, and all the way around his head was raw and irritated. He said I was super dry, even with the lube, and he chafed. I felt awful because he said, I guess I don't excite you anymore. He does, I swear. One reason I married him, because his sex is so goddamn good. So to my question, what is your favorite lube? I don't like it being too super slippery. I've heard coconut oil is good too, but I'm kind of afraid to try. What could we do? Should I also talk to my OB about it being too dry? I'm a new listener, but you're so fun to listen to. Thanks, Pam.
Well, I have one thing to say. First of all, she said in there, like, you know, he's afraid I don't excite. No,
oh,
your
right.
level of wetness or dryness has nothing
Thank
to
you.
Do with how turned on you are. It could be so many things, where you are in your cycle, what medication you're on, how hydrated or dehydrated you are. So don't think that there's a connection there, because there isn't.
Right. I always say, like, there's such a stigma with lube stuff because, you know, guys' feelings get hurt and she feels bad and the whole thing. And I'm just like, I want to lube on every nightstand. Like, it should be part of your sexual repertoire, but not KY.
No, I would actually recommend silicone lube or coconut oil, either one. You're not gonna, if they're using a condom for whatever reason, even if they're married, you don't want to use an oil-based lube at all. But silicone lube is great, and to get the guys involved a little bit more, let them jack off with it first, because I'll tell you what, silicone lube is absolutely amazing. Wicked actually makes one of the most amazing ones. Gun oil is really great.
Yeah, Uber.
Pure Uber
yeah.
lube.
Uber lube is like, yeah, that's where my new fave
is. One thing I would ask for them is the guy circumcised or not, because that may make a difference to what's going on with
okay,
that
so
as well.
Okay, so from now on, include if your partner's circumcised or not. I like System Joe. I like Pure. I would just try the lube, and I would just take, yeah, exactly. Tell them that it's not.
Yeah, and
the
thing,
yeah,
as I know all of us in this room know, like, kind of your drugstore lubes like KY, not really the best thing. There's so many things in there that can irritate you that I would suggest steering clear. And if you don't have access to a sex store or you don't want to order online, as long as you're not using condoms, get that extra virgin coconut oil and go to town. It tastes good.
I haven't used it yet as a lube just because I have so many lubes to test all the time. But I know, but I love coconut oil for everything else. So here's an article, like 100 uses for
coconut oil. We use it all the time,
like
everything
awesome.
From our coffee to whatever. Also, Adam and Eve, I know, carries it, and they distribute everywhere throughout the world.
They do. So check out Adam and Eve, use code Emily, and get some really good freaking lube. Best. And silicone lube got such a bad rap for so long, but it really is great unless you use it with a toy. Like, don't use it with your toys always because it can break down the materials, but otherwise, like, yeah, it's slippery, right. You'll like it, feels good
and
for masturbation.
And I usually find if I have a good quality silicone lube and a good quality toy, granted, your mileage may vary and there's no guarantees, but I oftentimes find as long as I have quality silicone, I can use them together.
Okay.
Like, I recommend testing it, like, do a little spot to see, but knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky mixing silicone with silicone.
Yeah, I have too.
The higher quality silicone is medical grade and it won't counteract.
Right, yeah. Okay, so get, you know what, spend the money, it's worth it. It's a good face cream. Like, get a good
and it's going worth it to your... spend the money because it lasts longer.
Exactly.
So you spend more up front.
And it has 100 uses. You can use it in your hair to get rid of frizzies.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And runner's chafe. If you're a jogger.
Same with my Down Under Comfort. Do you know it's funny that that I was talking about earlier in the show, the Down Under Comfort cream that I have, or the cream to powder formula, you can use a dry shampoo and chafing. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I give you guys
I've actually used it before as
car.
Ball powder.
What?
I love ball powder.
Yeah. Did I give you guys some?
No.
We're going to do that after.
But I need some, so that would be awesome.
I'm giving it to you. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining me. So, sunnymegatron.com, and then tell me all your other stuff that you want.
Yeah,
we've mentioned it.
Sunnymegatron.com, sunnymegatron.com, or go to Showtime and just look up Sunny Megatron. The whole first season is available on demand or on the Showtime Anytime app. You can find me on any social media, whether it's YouTube, Twitter, you know, Facebook. I'm Sunny, S-U-N-N-Y, Megatron, and Ken?
You can find me on all of Sunny's websites. We both write a lot of articles there. You can also just find me on Twitter at Psychic Ken, or it looks like Psy Chicken, P-S-Y Chicken.
Right. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having us. I appreciate it. Yeah. And everyone, I love you. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. which is all at Sex with Emily. How easy is that? And also, what else do we have to say here? If you guys like the show and you know, people always ask me, like, how do we listen? I feel like podcasting is, right now, everyone's kind of getting it, but there's a lot of apps you can download that are really easy. There's the free iTunes app, which is called Podcast, I think comes along with the iTunes app. There's also Podcast One, which is a great app. And if you want to, you like the show, review us on iTunes. That is awesome. We're also always looking for interns. All the stuff, emails, feedback@sexwithemily.com. So thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Thanks for listening. Okay, so the deal is, Sunny Ken, I'm glad you're here for me, because actually this is my final words. I'm gonna talk about the Fleshlight. Have you guys used a Fleshlight?
I have. Like almost the entire series.
Okay, good.
I've tested all of them. And the Nina Hartley one is my favorite, by the way. Her texture is just amazing.
I'll bet it would be, right? That's awesome. Okay, so I always talk about the Fleshlight and how amazing it is. We talked a lot about male toys on the show, but so tell me, if you guys use it together, a Fleshlight, what's your favorite thing about it?
The favorite thing to me is just the consistency of the, and I can't recall if it's TPE or TPR. I know it's one of the two, but it just, like, it's the texture. It feels absolutely amazing. It is, has so many little bumps and like different textures on the inside that it does things that a human mouth, vagina, or ass can't replicate. And so if you want alone time, Fleshlight is easy to use. It's easy to clean. You just unscrew the cap on the bottom and just like clean out the inside of it. It's great for a quickie. Have one at your office, stash it in the desk.
Right, exactly. The little one, the flight. Like
it's
even great for partnered sex. You know, whether it's like, hey, you know, just had some dental work done, or, you know, don't want to
right, like, I'm going to finish my book, my other hand, I'm
exactly.
going to jack you off.
Or, you know, I'm going to work on other parts of you, or whatever it is. It's great. Right. And I know I interviewed a lot of the Fleshlight girls, and I just got fascinated by, like, how did you pick your texture? Like, it was like Stoya and right.
Asakura.
Yeah, Asakura and all those people.
Yeah, and they're all different. I love what you said, that it's not something that you can actually experience. Like, it doesn't matter through a mouth or through a hand. Or
right, they're not replicating anatomy. They're having very specific textures on the inside that aren't replicated.
And you have every one. I love it. Are they all, like, out displayed? I'd love to come to your house sometime and check it out.
Yeah, we have so many sex toys, but yeah, they're all displayed on the inside of my man cave.
Okay, good. I love it. Okay, so everyone, check out Fleshlight and just get one. I mean, you've heard me talking about it, and I don't know. Everyone I've told you, no one's ever been like, why'd you make me get this Fleshlight? It sucks. I've never heard that except for, thank you, Emily, wears a Fleshlight in my whole life. So check it out. Go to sexwithemily.com. Click